the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
This republic be split in two. My negotiations will not fail.
If they do, there aren't enough Jedi to protect the republic. We're keepers of the peace, not soldiers.
You know I don't like it when you do that.
Sorry, Master. I forgot you don't like flying. Well, you've lost him.
If you'll excuse me.
I hate it when he does that.
Anakin, don't do anything without first consulting either myself or the Council.
You don't need guidance, Anakin. I see you becoming the greatest of all Jedi.
The boy has exceptional skills.
His abilities have made him arrogant.
Excuse me. I'm in charge of security here, m'lady.
They are using a bounty hunter named Jango Fett to create a clone army.
Wait.
We must stop them before they're ready.
Your clones are very impressive.
They'll do their job well.
Blast! This is why I hate flying!
This is a crisis. The Senate must vote the Chancellor emergency powers.
As my first act, I will create a grand army of the Republic to counter the increasing threats of the Separatists.
Hasn't been a full-scale war since the formation of the Republic.
You must join me, Obi-Wan. And together, you will destroy the Sith.
The dark side clouds everything. In grave danger, you are. Gun this Clone War has.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome to Star Wars, a retrospective to a galaxy far, far away. Episode 2.
That's right, episode 2, we're here.
Phil Rea joined by
Lou Rodriguez.
All right. This is going to be painstaking, folks. Doing this for RantEMRadio.com in conjunction with GeeksOfTheIndustry.com. This is episode 2 of our year-long... All right, take 2. I'll do some editing. I don't give a shit. Anyway, as I was saying before Lou just messed up my room, painstakingly to do this episode.
Yes.
And don't get me wrong. There's good in every one of these movies. I just think that this is probably the worst one.
I definitely think that there's a lot of stuff that bogs it down, that just like puts it to a standstill, and we'll get to those.
Yeah, we'll get to that stuff. But before we get into the movie itself, I just want to make sure that did we miss anything from last episode that you might want to include?
No, I think we were good. I think I was good.
Because I was thinking like maybe we missed something because we didn't really say, oh my God, we didn't say this, we didn't say that. I think we covered almost everything we wanted to cover in the last episode. I just wanted to make sure that we didn't, you know, miss any, you know, dot our I's, cross our T's kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
All right. All right. So, I played the original trailer.
Before we start, you want to give a shout out to Christopher Lee?
93 years old. People are like, oh, he died tragically. He's 93 years old.
Yeah, he had his time. Can't complain about that.
And let's be honest, he played in some horror movies, so this wasn't his worst role as Count Dooku.
Oh, I think he was great as Count Dooku. I think that was one of the highlights of
I think so, too.
I remember him from the Hammer films. That's the ones I liked. I liked those old horror films. The Horror of Dracula and all the Dracula ones. Those were awesome. Peter Cushing.
Yeah.
Who plays Grand Moff Tarkin later on.
Yeah, yeah. And episode 4. But you, it was like, people were like, you don't know, he was the best. I know he was the best. I followed his career. Guy spoke 7 languages. You know, he was like royalty where he was from.
Yeah, yeah.
And like Lou just mentioned, he was in a bunch of horror movies.
Yeah, he did. I think he did almost 300 movies in total.
Did a heavy metal album.
Yeah. At 80, right? He was like 80 years old when
fucking
he did that.
Brilliant, that guy. That guy's brilliant. Yeah. So rest in peace. Died 2 days ago. Not tragically. He was 93 years old as I'm belching cider here. So rest in peace, Mr. Christopher Lee, a.k.a. Count Dooku. Attack of the Clones. So I watched it again today at work. While I was working, trying to work anyway. And I tried to... I mean, I'm inspired to do this with you and what we're doing for the networks and everything. But this was like
it's a real chore.
I remember seeing it in the theater going like, okay, how are you going to follow up with Phantom Menace? The Phantom Menace was a slow burn. Like the movie progressively got better as you know in Phantom Menace in terms of. I said, how are you going to continue that trend with Attack of the Clones?
And that's what I find funny is that I think actually Phantom Menace had more storyline, but to me it didn't feel as slow as this one does. And there's a lot of crazy action set pieces, but it's just not once do those action set pieces. Do you feel like anybody's in danger or...
Yeah.
It's just, you kind of like just slog through it. I had to watch it, like I had to stop it halfway through because I was falling asleep and I had to watch the rest of it.
Yeah, well, I was working, so... All right, so let's get right into it. This might be our shortest episode of the whole series.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Released May 16th, 2002. Lucas had an $120 million budget. It grossed over $300 million.
It was also the most expensive Star Wars movie, too. Out of all of them. Yeah, of all of them. That one cost the most.
Well... Because of my next fact, and I hope that you'll give me some insight, because I'm not the film guy. You are. This was the first film that used high definition digital 24 frame systems for the most of the movie's live action scenes.
Yes, he figured it's much easier to incorporate the CGI from that, and he used a couple of scenes in Phantom Menace. Phantom Menace was mostly shot in 35mm, which is what the new Star Wars movies are going to be in, because it gives it that film look.
Right.
But yeah, this is the first one. And I think it shows. I noticed it yesterday. A lot of the CGI really pops out, but in a bad way. Whereas like people complain about Phantom Menace. They say like it looks too CGI. There's too much CGI. I never felt like that. But this one I did. I was like, some of the alien creatures, they just look like they belong on the Clone Wars cartoon. I just thought it was so freaking obvious that they were computer graphics. But it was easier for them to use it for that.
So I was waiting. I was hoping you'd have some more insight because I don't know anything about it until I read it today. Is this a norm now for live action? Did they use this 24 frame?
Yeah, this is one of the first. Yeah.
So now, but this is like a norm now.
Now, yeah.
10 years.
Not
later.
Everybody uses it, but
it's mostly like in the live action movies and shit like that.
Especially where a lot of CGI is incorporated.
Yeah. Also, this was the first time a Star Wars film didn't earn the highest box office sales for the year.
That's right.
It got beat out by Spider-Man, Lord of the Rings.
And Two Towers.
You know? I'm not surprised.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
That's what's funny about it, too, is that I remember when it came out, everybody liked it better than Phantom Menace. Really? I remember, I was like, wow, that was great. I mean, even to the, it took me maybe like the third or fourth try where a time where I saw it, where I was like, started noticing, like, yeah, okay. Maybe this wasn't as good as I remembered it. But yeah, it was actually uncritically received better too. If you look at the Metacritic scores and everything. Yeah. Not by much, but.
You know what? I'm going to read the opening crawl.
All right, go for it.
Because I want to try to get everybody in the mood when they're listening to the show. Because I feel like it's like that. All right. So the opening crawl, obviously, what the opening crawl is that what you see in the beginning of the movie that's slowly crawling up your screen as the music plays. And it's going to tell you pretty much the synopsis of the movie.
Yeah.
All right? And there's an unrest in the Galactic Senate. And several thousand solar systems have declared their intentions to lead the separatist movement under the leadership of the mysterious Count Dooku, a.k.a. Christopher Lee, has made it difficult for the limited number of Jedi Knights to maintain peace and order in the galaxy. Senator Amidala, the former Queen of Naboo, is returning to the Galactic Senate to vote on the critical issue of creating an Army of Republic to assist the overwhelmed Jedi.
That's...
That's pretty much it. So this is set 10 years after the Battle of Naboo, right?
Yep.
Okay.
I'll throw that one in real quick, too, about the writing. I think it was pretty cool that George Lucas knew about the hate from Jar Jar. And he named the script, the working name of the script was Jar Jar's Big Adventure. It was called Episode 2, Jar Jar's Big Adventure.
What a dick.
He was doing it as if, actually in the movie, too. When the first time they introduced Jar Jar, have you ever seen the movie The People versus George Lucas? Which is a great movie if you haven't seen it. It's really, really good. So, but he says there's a scene where he first meets Jar Jar, and Jar Jar looks directly at the camera and smiles at you. Like, fuck you guys. I'm here. You didn't get rid of me. I think it's great.
So now, the movie's pretty political in terms of the political plot now is beginning to come to fruition in terms of what's going on in the system. Like, the Galactic Republic is in a crisis. The separatist movement with the Sith Darth Tyrannus threatening the peace. Now they have to debate on this military act to make an army for the Republic and to protect them. So now the Queen becomes a senator.
Mm-hmm.
She has two terms. Like, it's like the New York City mayor. You get two terms and then that's pretty much it. You know? But now they have to have her name on that treaty, you know?
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about where you were in terms of seeing it at that point. And like the first couple of minutes of the movie, you're like, all right.
I love the first couple of minutes. Let's talk about that real quick. Where the ship lands and it explodes. And it's, mm-hmm. I thought that was great. That was a really, really great way to start the movie off.
Setting you up for the...
Yeah.
You know.
So set you up with the separatists and all that stuff like that. It took me a while to follow what the hell was going on. You know, it's like, oh, wait, okay, it's not Queen no more. Supposedly the backstory to that was the Queen asked her to be the senator. The new queen.
Because they asked her to do it, and she said no. You know, they figured there's not much she can do. She was the youngest, and,
yeah.
You know, anyway. All right, so she has to return to Coruscant to vote against the act, even though there are no longer enough Jedi to maintain peace and justice in the galaxy. Upon her arrival, she narrowly escapes the assassination attempt that Luke just spoke of, that claims the life of her decoy, Cordy. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was okay. As a result, Supreme Chancellor Sheev Palpatine. Sheev just sounds like a fucking rabbi.
You know, I never knew that was his first name until
like I read it. I did this last week, and I'm like, Sheev. I'm like, does he run Shabbos over on Willowbrook Road over here? I'm like, what's the deal?
Shabbos. Nobody bowls on Shabbos.
Right. Chancellor Sheev Palpatine requested the Jedi Knight Obi-Wan Kenobi and his apprentice now. 19-year-old,
it should be about 18. It's 10 years, 10 years later.
Anakin Skywalker to protect her. Okay, so here's where I get a sense of what's I can pretty much tell what's going to happen at this point. Anakin's just frustrated. He's having these nightmares. He's like frustrated. He's worked up. Obi-Wan feels that he's all bent out of shape, that he's about to see Padme for the first time in a decade.
Yeah.
Right there in the elevator, they're shit-talking.
Oh, that's one thing, yeah, we got to talk. The bickering between the two of them. I mean, they're supposed to be a master and apprentice, and all they do is bicker through the whole movie. Yeah,
my thought exactly. I was like, you know what? You shouldn't be back-talking this guy, period.
Yeah.
You need about three movies to even back-talk him. You shouldn't have been back-talking him until the third fucking movie.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point.
Right?
Yeah. Build it up. Yeah.
Right, not slowly because I'm an old man now, but because, I mean, like you said, master, apprentice, student, teacher. It's, you know, a majority of their, I don't want to say faith, because we talk about religion again like last month, but part of their training is not even part of it. Most of it is mental.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you have to be focused. You have to maintain some kind of clarity in terms of the character, in terms of being a Jedi. And he's not even a full Jedi yet.
Nope.
He's still a Padawan, you know? So, okay. So let's get into, they get Padme, they're gonna protect her before they move her to Naboo.
Yes.
And there's an assassination attempt. Like, let's get into that for a second.
Okay, so you want to go to the big chase scene?
Well, before that, the assassin was a person named Zam Wessel.
Zam Wessel, yeah.
Now, what kind of character, what kind of creature was she? Do we know, or?
A changeling. I know that's
you changeling. Right, okay. Yeah. Makes another attempt. This is her second attempt. And she gets this canister from what looks to be a bounty hunter. Well, it looks to be somebody gets a canister, right? And the canister's got these, I guess,
worms.
Caterpillar looking motherfuckers.
Yeah, it's...
Right, so she sends it through this little pod thingy. And the pod shoots across the city. Now, here's where the CGI thing gets a little... not. I don't want to say overboard, not yet. But I liked the city.
That was cool. That was really cool.
The skyline was cool, and I thought like the lights looked like a futuristic like Times Square.
Yeah, it was almost. Very busy.
Very busy, the, yeah. Yeah.
All the cars and everything, flying cars.
So she takes this canister, puts it in the pod, and goes to where Padme is sleeping. R2 is in the room with her with his Apex security system camera going on. And now she's, not only is R2 looking over her with the light, they got like security beams all around the room in case something, like a movement, something picks up. But apparently these caterpillar worm creature looking things are hip to, which that bothered me.
They watched Mission Impossible 1. They followed Tom Cruise through the through the laser wires.
Right.
Yeah, they were retarded.
So now, Anakin and Obi-Wan are still bickering at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not paying attention. Sloppy motherfuckers at this point. Sloppy. The worms get right before they get to Padme and about to do their thing, the killer or poison or whatever they're going to do. Oh, I sent something. Both of them, they run in, and Anakin takes his lightsaber and chops the worms, and then all of a sudden, Obi-Wan sees the pod still outside the window, creeping like stalking type stuff, and jumps out the window and grabs the freaking pod thingy, and now the pod's dragging him across the city. So to get into that, get into the chase for a second.
Well, okay, first of all, a little reckless there, isn't it? You know what I mean? Right. He sits there and he yells at Anakin for jumping out of the train. I mean, jumping out of the car thing. But, then he just jumps out the window onto this little robot thing that how high they are, forget it. It's like... But, the chase scene is just a lot of chase. It's really... I felt like there was, like, nothing going on. It was just cool to... I mean, background-wise was cool to look at, but...
Yeah, once Anakin knew that he had a grip that Padme was okay, he went and stole a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
you know, just nonchalant walked into some dude's parking lot and and took his speed, his you know, his what do you call it? What do they call it? I don't know what they call it.
They didn't even have a name for them.
I guess like a land speeder or something like that, whatever you want. But anyway, it wasn't even on land. It was a little ship, little Toyota-looking motherfucker. And gets on, and he gets, again, plays the part that he has to save Obi-Wan again, you know, like that kind of thing, and plays on that. So now it's really apparent that she's really not safe there, and the council suggests that she gets moved to Naboo, like immediately, almost, right?
Yeah. The scene with the bar. I'll talk about that for a second.
Oh yeah, right. I'm sorry.
So that was when they finally catch the bounty hunter.
Yeah, I'm sorry. They get to. I'm so sorry, man. I skipped that. I'm exhausted. I'm sorry. So they get to the bounty hunter. They follow her into a club, master. It's a club. Okay. Be mindful, Anakin. Don't drink. You know, he tells him be mindful, but yeah, he goes to the bar and has a drink.
Yeah.
Very, 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 very hypocritical. The hypocrisy of them two is just ridiculous.
Yeah, there's no chemistry at all with them two. There's no, like you said, like camaraderie or anything. You don't feel like they're best friends. Like they're supposed to be best friends, but
yeah, it's supposed to be a decade of like battles and like you know, upholding the force and you know, suppressing the Sith, and now it's like, do what I tell you. I don't want to do what I told you. I have nightmares. I miss my mother. Be mindful. Focus. None of that. It's all nonsense.
What's cool about that bar scene is that's the only scene that was practical. They actually built a whole bar set, actual real people.
Yeah.
No CGI. That's really cool. Then they said it took them like, I think it was like a week and a half to build the whole set and everything. And actually, Ahmed Best, the guy who plays Jar Jar, and Anthony Daniels are in the background there, too, as different characters.
Nice. Nice. All right. So, you know, they get into the bar. They get to the assailant, give her a nice quick chop with the lightsaber. And then they carry her outside.
Jango winds up shooting her with the dart.
Well, yeah, they get her outside. Who put you up to this? Who put you up to this? Yeah. And, you know, it was like Senator. And then who? And then that's when Jango shoots him with a dart. So the dart, of course, now is obviously poison. And the change, whoever she was, turned into this lizard-looking thing and then dies. Almost like shrivels up like a shrinky-dink. And shrivels up, and now the council. Now you have to reconvene. Now and now the council's like, this is no joke. Something's going down, and we got to take care of it. You know. So now they go to the council, and the new orders now are for Anakin to stay with Padme, and for Obi-Wan to investigate
the bounty hunter.
The bounty hunter. So let's get into that for a second, right? So, where's my notes here? So, he gets a new assignment.
So, Anakin's got to go to Naboo, back to Naboo.
To protect the Senator. He's asked to escort her back to her home planet. Anakin welcomes the opportunity, and he becomes angry and frustrated by Obi-Wan's criticism. So I wrote that down, right? And now he has his opportunity, and now he's become infatuated with Padme.
In a scary way.
Like, to the point where she was like, don't look at me like that.
I was just going to talk about that scene. Holy crap. And then he smiles with the most creepiest freaking predator, to catch a predator type thing.
And you know what? This is where I got mad when I was in the movie. Like, you're creeped out by this dude, but 45 minutes later, you're rolling in the fucking grass with him.
My friend said the same thing, yeah.
Like, I don't understand that.
Yep.
All right, well, we're shooting ahead now. Hold on a second. So, you know, He becomes infatuated, like disgustingly creepy, right? And now she leaves her duties to you know who.
My man,
your man. only lose man, Jar Jar Binks. And Misa like the opportunity. No, Jar Jar, shut the fuck up.
And that's the scene where he looks at the camera and says, just smiles like "fuck you." I'm here.
So now, Obi-Wan, during the investigation, goes to see his homeboy at the diner.
I love this.
Dax.
Dax.
So if you didn't see Dax, in the, Dax is...
I can explain it right here.
Go ahead, Lou. You explain it.
He was based off of Ernest Borgnine and Vic Tayback.
From Alice.
Alice.
I got that.
And if you looked at the waitress...
That was Flo.
The waitress was Flo, yep.
Right. I'm glad somebody else caught that.
Yep, that was so great.
You want a coffee? Whatever she said. I forgot what she said.
Sit on it, right? Yeah. No, was it?
Kiss my grits.
Kiss my grits. That's what it was.
Kiss my grits.
Sit on it was Happy Days.
Wow, we're old, dude.
Yeah, we are.
We are. We're old. So Dax apparently is a lizard, Ernest Borgnine, Vic Tayback, Mel's Diner in the middle of this whole scene. And Dax, obviously, former military intelligence of some sort.
Yeah, I read something like that. I was like, it's a lot of stuff I read about. They said it was part of the original script, but they kind of deleted it. And that was one of the things that they gave him more of a little background.
You see, I would like to know more about that backstory because in our diners where we're from, we don't get guys like that. We get the old Greek dudes yeah. that give my kid cookies on the way out. We don't have that. We don't have military dudes running our diners, you know? So, apparently, he's entrusted in Obi-Wan. They've been friends for a minute, you know? And he says to Dax, I have this dart. And he goes, oh, that's a cloner. The hell's a cloner? Clones on the Outer Realm. Where do I find it? On Kamino. Where the hell's Kamino? Oh, it's about 12 parsecs, you know, north of Kansas City. You know, you go this way, and you know, you do that. And
make a right on Albuquerque.
Make a right on Albuquerque, right. So now it's like, oh, my God. He how do you know that the writing, Jedi wouldn't pick that up.
Yeah.
Because you don't deal with weapons, you dirty hippies. you wear your bathrobe, and you have a lightsaber. And you wear your hair different. Me, on the other hand, I'm Vic Tayback, Lizard Man, and I have like fucking the military arsenal under my skillet in the back. You know, me and Carlos the Gecko. What's Greedo's? What was Greedo's? What's the name of his species again?
Rodian.
Yeah, he has like a Rodian like sous chef in the back. That's probably like a ninja or something. You know? All right. So
you just picture in the future somewhere that Dax becomes what's his name? John Goodman in Big Lebowski.
Dax should have his own series. Dax should have like this like stories from the diner. You know.
Yeah. What's cool about the diner, too, it had that very American Graffiti type look. It really looks like old 60s.
That's all George Lucas right there.
Yeah, that was so cool.
That's all Lucas right there.
It was so out of place when I first, I was like, wow, but it really is cool.
So Obi-Wan's led to the mysterious planet called Kamino, with a K, not a C, right? And it's missing from the Jedi Archives. He goes to the Jedi Archives. Jedi Archives is, if you haven't seen the movie, is like their version of the library.
Yeah, like the Hall of Records.
The Hall of Records, yeah. And, you know, the librarian who's 107 years old.
Jocasta New, I think her name
right.
was. Yes.
She's like, you know, Master Obi-Wan, Master Kenobi, you know, if it's not in the records, it's not there. But, of course, you know, Obi-Wan being the, you know, the go-getter, if you will, decides that he's not happy enough that, you know, he knows it's there because Dax told him, and now he wants to find out what's going on with where this place is. So now he goes into the room. Now Yoda is teaching the younglings some some skills.
Yeah.
And I hate to interrupt your class, but I can't find this planet. Well, why? And, of course, now Yoda makes Obi-Wan look retarded. And the kid answers the question because somebody deleted the friggin' planet from the system, from the records.
Maybe he should be training Anakin.
I was like, I don't get it. Like the 6-year-olds in the, yeah, is exactly. Now, yeah, you know. So now he discovers the secret clone army being developed by the Republic, and feels kind of slighted. You can see now he's dejected. This is where I don't lose the movie, you know, but I feel like you find this place, and the chick who gives the tour, I don't know what the hell, she's like this long-necked, white-looking alien.
Yeah, but they were basing that on the real aliens, like the people say that they've seen, and he actually did that as an homage to Steven Spielberg, his best friend, for Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Makes perfect sense when you see it. But she gives him the tour, and everybody looks the same. And he's looking for, you know, who's in charge, and she, you know.
What about the world? What did you think of the world?
I thought when you say CGI, it looked cool for like a minute. But I think does it have to be bad weather all the time?
It looked like it was always bad weather. Yeah. If you don't know, the world was just in the middle of this giant ocean. It looked like a giant ocean with like a city right in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And they had some flying dragons flying around. Those dragons were actually from original concept from Empire Strikes Back, that they wanted to have them in Bespin, Cloud City.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually had Ralph McQuarrie actually drew pictures where he had those flying dragons, and that's where they threw them into there because they never used them.
Oh, the alien was Lama Su, the prime minister, right? No. Who was the prime minister?
Right.
So the army was ordered 10 years ago by Jedi Master Cypher Diaz, but Obi-Wan thought it was Cypher Diaz was killed before that time. So
there's something about that name. I love that name, Cypher
right.
Diaz.
But it wasn't. But we know that it wasn't Cypher Diaz because he was dead. He was killed. And you know what? Here's the deal too. You can't lie to a Jedi. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll figure you out. They can feel your heartbeat. They know you're lying. They know you're acting. They have that sixth sense. They can do that. So now Obi-Wan is, you could tell the character is now overwhelmed. Like he's like this bird now. Like, all right, this is some serious stuff going on now. This clone army is being built. We didn't give the okay for it. No one talked about it for a decade. There's a decade's worth of these people going around.
Yeah.
You have 10 years with the clones, and the council has no idea this is going on. No idea this is going on. It doesn't make sense because the record was deleted from the archives. Nobody knows these armies are being built, even though there's the deleted systems in the fucking record. I don't get it. So, now, at this point, Obi-Wan meets Jango Fett.
Jango and Baby Boba.
Baby Boba Fett. My favorite character of all time in Star Wars.
Not in this movie, though.
No, not in this movie. Jango Fett was hired as a template for the clones, right? Obi-Wan meets Jango on Kamino and believes he is the killer he's seen in the tracking of the chase. He tries to capture him, which leads to a titanic one-on-one fight between them.
That's a pretty cool scene.
I like that fight scene, too. Yeah. I like the fact that he used his blasters and the missile thing to get away. Sent them plummeting into the water.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that, you know, gets one on you. Technology, one, Jedi, nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Weapons, you know, one, Jedi, nothing. Thinking he's dead, Jango leaves with Boba in the freshest ship in the galaxy, the Slave One. Well, it's not really the Slave... Well, it's a Slave One looking ship. I don't know if it's the actual Slave...
I believe it is, yeah. I believe it is.
So by the time you see it in episode 4 or 5, it's all beat up and green looking.
Yeah.
This is like blue and shiny and delicious looking.
Yeah.
Hands down, my favorite... And I'll say this probably more than once on the podcast... My favorite ship.
So now I want to talk about his escape, which this guy's supposed to be one of the best bounty hunters in the world, and he lets a tracking beam get on his ship.
Yeah.
That's the oldest trick in the book.
So, you know, you would think the Jedi, you know, Jedi's carry tracking on them.
It was like the spider tracer.
Yeah, but Spidey always had that stuff.
Yeah. No, but I'm. But I'm saying,
what it was. Yeah,
this is exactly
he right for all fanboys and fangirls. You know what I'm talking about. Spidey always drew something on something and tracked it and sat in his little room and listened to his police radio and waited for the guy to come back and track them. But his little
spider sense would go off when he was close to the tracker.
Yeah. So now the Jedi sense is tingling. You would think, oh yeah, you know, but it made no sense to me that he would carry a tracker with him. Like all of a sudden. Like, you know you're tracking somebody?
My thing was more of Django, not, like, scanning his ship before, you know.
Yeah,
they've done that before on Star Wars, where, you know, check to see if there's any tracking.
Star Trek does it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I let my shields down. Yeah, use your track to beam on me. It's okay. Go ahead. No. You know, yeah. We're friendly. So the slave one, and then follows him to the planet of Geonosis, which sounds like a very bad venereal disease, right?
Went to Thailand and got a bad case of Geonosis from a Thailand hooker.
Word. Meanwhile, back at Naboo.
Oh boy, here we go.
Anakin and Padme have been spending lots of times together. Ooh, look at here. Enjoying each other's company. And they were frolicking in the fields.
Frolic. What the fuck is a frolic? How do you frolic?
I just like typing the word frolic. See, I wrote frolicking in the fields. Okay? Proof, motherfucker. So now eventually Anakin reveals his deep love for her. Now, again, this is where I have a problem with it.
Let's just go back real quick before you go.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
To the romance. When they first land on a planet, that's what we have.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. We have clips.
Show how much of a whiny bitch Anakin is.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, I.
Yeah, so Lou, they just land onto Anakin right at this point. I'll set it up.
Lou and I actually did some homework. So let's bring this up. This is about 40 minutes into the movie.
See, they just landed to Naboo.
They just landed to Naboo.
And they're coming up with their plan.
Is the day we lose it? Let's pray that day never comes. In the meantime, we must consider your own safety.
What is your suggestion, Master Jedi?
Oh, Anakin's not a Jedi yet. He's still a Padawan learner. But I was thinking...
Hold on a minute.
Excuse me. I was thinking I would stay in the Lake Country. There's some places up there that are very isolated.
Excuse me. I'm in charge of security here, m'lady.
And this is my home. I know it very well. That is why we're here. I think it would be wise if you took advantage of my knowledge in this instance.
I'm sorry, m'lady.
That look.
Perfect. Right. It's settled.
Right. So, if you haven't seen the movie, you know, now she's the elder telling him off, take my advice, take my wisdom.
Another bickering,
and he's got this, God, Jedi's the worst dresses, man. Dude, they're the worst. He's got this fucking potato sack on. If you guys are a fan of the comic book Daredevil, he's got this kingpin-looking scarf in the middle of his neck with this potato sack, you know?
So yeah, she burns him right off the bat. She's like,
she blows his spot up.
I'm a Jedi. She's like, no, you're not. You're a Padawan.
Right. So then...
Know your place.
Right. So now... All right. So strike one, he freaks her out while they're packing, right? Strike two, she shoots him down when they land. Why would you just give in after he professes now his love for her?
And not only that, but she really did make him look like a bitch in front of everybody right there. She's like, listen, know your place, shut your mouth and know your role.
You've dated quite a number of ladies in your time.
Of course.
Okay, good. All right. If a woman did that to me once, twice, three times a lady... You're going home alone that night. You're going home night, Lewis. You're going home alone that night. Here's where I dislike this character. Because here she is, fresh off the royalty. Now she's a politician. She's headstrong. She wants to help her planet. She wants to help the fucking cause. She wants to get the stars aligned, and all of a sudden, here comes this punk kid who, you know, makes googly eyes at her.
And creepy smiles.
And creepy stalker smiles, And then it was like, okay, let's frolic. Let's canoodle. Let's canoodle. Piss me off. Stupid. So now, meanwhile, now they're on the planet. Now they're frolicking. Vowing to do whatever she asks. However, she keeps resisting. Not for long, though, you know. She keeps telling him, like, listen, it's impossible for us. I'm a politician. You're a Jedi. You're about to be a Jedi.
That's the fireplace scene. That one, I actually have the number if you want to listen to that one. But,
yeah, let's that do that. Let's do that.
54 minutes. This one is another creepy scene where he's just kind of... I don't know. All of a sudden, he's just starting to talk romantic stuff.
Right here.
Yeah,
right?
A little bit after that.
A little bit after this?
Yeah, just right there. Yeah, right around there. Just back up. Yeah. So he's professing his love for her right here.
Wearing her bondage gear.
Yeah.
There we go. Now he's passing fruit to her.
Yeah, yeah. Do the commentary on here.
She takes it with her fork. And she loves it.
And she's all smiley.
She's
now.
All smiley. He's wearing some leather. And here we go, the fireplace with a bondage gear on.
She is kind of sexy, though.
I wouldn't.
From the moment I met you.
Try to bed, you know.
All right, so here's the dialogue.
Years ago, not a day has gone by when I even thought of you. Now that I'm with you again. I'm in agony. The closer I get to you, the worse it gets. The thought of not being with you. I can't breathe.
It's terrible acne, too.
Yeah.
I'm haunted by the kiss that you should never have given me.
I hate that line.
My heart is beating, hoping that kiss will not become a scar.
She's all uncomfortable, like she's about to get...
You are in my very soul, tormenting me.
Agony.
What can I do? I will do anything that you ask. If you're suffering as much as I am, please tell me.
She's suffering.
And I love the fake Shakespeare type talking too.
We can't. It's like just not possible.
They know what they're talking about.
Anything is possible, Padme. Listen to me.
No, you listen.
Uh-oh.
We live in a real world. Come back to it. You're studying to become a Jedi. I'm a senator. If you follow your thoughts through to conclusion, it'll take us to a place we cannot go. Regardless of the way we feel about each other.
Then you do feel something.
I will not let you give up your future for me.
You are asking me to be rational. That is something I know I cannot do.
No shit.
Believe me, I wish yeah. that.
We learned that in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Creepy motherfucker.
I will not give in to this.
Yes, you will.
So she right here, though, she's shutting him down again.
Yeah, she's like, nothing for you. Go beat off in your leather potato sack.
It wouldn't have to be that way.
But I'll meet you tomorrow for frolicking.
Yep.
We could keep it a secret.
Yeah. Oh, a dirty secret.
We'd be living a lie.
Of course you would.
One we couldn't keep even if we wanted to. I couldn't do that. Could you, Anakin? Could you live like that?
Of course he could. He's already halfway there, dude.
No.
Lies.
You're right.
Lies, Skywalker. You lie like a Persian rug. Jesus.
Yeah.
Who writes this shit?
So we're moving on now to the... I know. After we get off of that initial shock.
No.
Of bad.
You got, am I going past your notes here?
Nope.
What do you got going on next? I
got little notes here and there, so I'm
fine. Am I queuing up any more audio for this?
Not right now.
Okay. All right. So... So now we're at the crossroads of the movie. You know, You're about almost an hour in at this point, and Anakin's still uneasy. He's got, now he has the newfound spider sense, his Jedi sense, that his mom is not doing too well.
Yeah.
I think the closer he gets to the situation of his mom, or the closer he gets to the anger now he's feeling, now he's starting to get all the senses that a regular Jedi would get at this point. This kind of makes sense to me. It does and it doesn't. Like, I struggled with this. Like, how do you know that your mom's getting beat up by fucking sand people? You know, like, how do you know? Like, you're wrapped up in this chick. You're conflicted about the girl and the job that you have to do and your role as a Jedi.
I could see it, because it's almost kind of like when Obi-Wan felt, you know, the pain of a million people dying or whatever, crying or whatever, when Alderaan went. So it's they can sense that something's going on, and he figured he's got a connection to it. It's his mother, so
even though
he's seen the future,
even though he's overwhelmed with like all these different emotions, he could definitely sense that.
Well, he's doing it during his dreams, so obviously it's a subconscious. So
subconsciously,
he's not even controlling it.
So it's like, I think it's like a thing where, okay, well, now his dreams are now becoming a reality.
Yeah, okay. It's almost you know, I was skipping ahead to episode 5, but almost when Luke is in training, and he starts seeing that his friends are going to be in trouble. He doesn't know what, doesn't know how, but
he's got to bounce from Dagobah to save his peoples in Cloud City. And, all right. So, now he tells Padme what's going on after, you know, he's like, listen, I have to go to Tatooine. But he's told not to go. He's told he has to stay on Naboo until, you know, but he wants to go. Of course, he disobeys, and he goes to Tatooine. So, he didn't want to go back there. Talked about the sand, and
I hate that line. I had to actually cheat up on it. But
I hate the, you know, sign.
It gets everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Not like you. That's what he says.
Not like you. Who writes this shit? Worst one of the...
Oh, man.
It was terrible. It was terrible. Let's see, where am I? Okay. So now they go, and first order of business, let's go see Watto.
Yeah, our man Watto.
So Watto, of course, hasn't aged.
Still, well, he looks like shit, though.
Well, yeah, he's all... Well, listen, it's... They're taking a beating because a lot of stuff's going on, so maybe not as much money is being moved around,
yeah.
You know, and he's not getting his piece to the point where he had to sell his mom that he was looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
So, looking for mom. Once he finds out who he was, wow, you're a Jedi now, look at that. Okay, where's mom? Well, I sold mom. You sold mom. Like, that's the look he gave him, like, you sold mom. Well, you know, and I would have said, well, your mom was a fucking slave.
Exactly.
He would have chopped my face off, but at least I would have got a funny line off, you know? So, he sells mom to a moisture farmer, right?
Yep.
Who winds up marrying her. She's free now. Of course she's free, because she's a steady piece for the moisture farmer guy. Creepy, though, right? That's creepy to me.
Whatever gets you married. You got to buy somebody to get married.
Yeah, apparently. It's like, you know.
What's his name? Clegg Lars? I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Wait, I think I skipped a piece of paper here. Hold on there.
Should be he goes to their farm, right?
Yeah. His name was Clegg Lars. Clegg with two Clegg, G's.
Yes, it was, yeah.
Two G's. Not one.
Second G is silent.
Travels to the moisture farm where C-3PO has been sitting in soot. He looks like the shits that kid, that poor guy. Right? Clegg tells Anakin the horrible truth that his mom was kidnapped by Tusken Raiders.
Now, this part doesn't make sense. Because when they pull up to the farm, Beru, who would be his aunt, only
Aunt
by
Beru.
Marriage, yeah, Aunt Beru, she runs up to the top of the hill and says, Anakin's back. When the fuck did she meet him?
Yeah, how do you know who he is?
When did you see him?
You saw him 10 years ago when he was 8?
Yeah. You know? And, but isn't... I mean, their aunt... he's his aunt by Klieg's bloodline. Mm-hmm. So he never met Klieg before. So he never even met... There's no way he could have met her before.
Right. So... I said Sand People before. It was Tusken Raiders. I apologize. Anakin travels through the night.
Well, they find out that the Tusken Raiders kidnapped
Mom. So now he's... Like, he knows where they hang out.
Pretty conveniently. Nomads that always move.
Yeah, people... Yeah. these are like gypsies. You ever see that reality show with the gypsies? That's what Tusken Raiders are.
Yeah.
They're just gypsies that move around that planet, and they settle in these camps, and they fucking...
And they're all tents, too, so you can see they pack up and move all the time.
Right, they're just gypsies, and they get what they gotta get, and they keep it moving. They're not...
Scavengers, yeah.
They're savages, pretty much.
Yep.
But, of course, he knows where they are, and he travels after nightfall, because it's really hot, man. Those two suns, I'd travel at night, too, if I lived out there. I wouldn't even go out during the day. There's no air conditioning there. You crazy?
But the camp is really cool looking. It was cool to see the...
Yeah,
you know,
of course. Yeah,
like the same people and everything, just seeing how...
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. So he goes into one of the tents and he finds Mom tied up.
And we all know what was going on.
Yeah.
Implied.
It was very implied. You know what's scary? Like, you wonder about creepy. Like, seeing her tied up. And then, like, he takes her down, and then she looks at him, and she's like, her wrists are all bloody. Mm. Her face is all banged up and mangled.
Yeah.
And she's, all of a sudden, after being pillaged by these savages for a couple of months. And, you know, here's another thing. You don't mean to tell me you and your big-ass kid, meaning Klieg, can jump in a land speeder and go try to find your fucking wife? Where Anakin finds her in 10 minutes?
Yeah, right.
Dude, what kind of husband are you? Like, dude.
The kind who buys slaves.
The kind who buys slaves, marries them, and then, like, yeah, all right, Tusken Raiders, you going to take her? All right, yeah, it's okay. No, it's fine.
Can you bring her back, you know, maybe before...
For the harvest? Yeah, bring her back for the harvest. I need some more blue milk. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude. I never got any of that, you know? So... Where am I now? Fucking Tusken Raiders. So now he sees her, and now she's all smiles. Is that really you? Is it you? Yeah, it's me. And then all of a sudden he sees the wrist. He starts crying, and she's like, I'm like, it's all full circle for me now. And, you know, like, she's now, like, he feels she's on her way out. Just by taking her off that wood, she's going to die now.
Yeah.
Like, really? You've been hanging there for months? You die because he takes you down? You waited for him? Klieg didn't save you? You waited for him? Like, you knew he was coming?
Yeah, right.
So, within moments, like, she dies, obviously. So now, it begins.
Yeah.
Anakin,
The music on that part is sick.
Yeah, well, that's the best part when it gets tied up. He tightens up and he's like,
kind of like psycho music.
Yeah.
Like,
and he walks in and he fucking just destroys the entire village. He doesn't tell anybody he destroys the entire village until a little while after this, right?
Yeah. Actually, I got that queued up too.
Yeah, where is that?
123. When he tells Padme about what he did.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
I love technology, Lou. 123, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he brings the body back, brings his body back of his mother back to the farm.
So, well, wait. Well, I wrote down the whole Yoda thing. I thought that was important. So now he kills everybody. But back on Coruscant, Yoda senses the terrible darkness in the Force. As the slaughter continues, Qui-Gon Jinn's voice can be heard saying, Anakin, no! During the scene. That was creepy. I like that. Anakin then brings Mom's body back to the homestead. let's take you now to the videotape. At this point, Obi-Wan's trying to get in touch with them.
Yeah, but he's not answering.
Because R2's fixing the ship. Fucking Klieg, you ain't great. Hey, Klieg.
You guys only have one leg.
Yeah. Kaz. your son can help you. Getting... Should be ashamed. Look at his face. Here's some blue milk for you, Anakin.
I brought you something.
Of course you did.
Are you hungry?
The shifter broke.
Here's some other great dialogue now.
It seems so much simpler when you're fixing things. I'm good at fixing things. Always was. But I could. Why'd she have to die? Why couldn't I save her? I know I could have.
Sometimes there are things no one can fix. You're not all powerful.
Well, I should be. Someday I will be. I will be the most powerful Jedi ever. I promise you. I will even learn to stop people from dying.
Anakin.
It's all Obi-Wan's fault.
See?
He's jealous.
Yeah, blame him.
He's holding me back.
He wasn't even there.
was he on the other side of the world right now.
What's wrong, Annie?
You know what's wrong. You're wearing a terrible shower curtain.
It's a moo-moo.
I killed them. I killed them all. They're dead. Every single one of them.
Hence, I killed them all.
And not just the men, but the women. And the children, too. They're like animals. And I slaughtered them like animals. I hate them.
Let me ask you something, and be honest with me. Pretend you have ovaries for a second. You don't. You don't, right? If you're a woman, and the dude that you think you're jonesing for comes in the room and tells you, listen.
Who also happens to be creepy.
Creepy. Yeah. And says, listen, I just killed a village full of savages. And I didn't stop
including
there.
Including the children.
I killed the women and the children. Would you remotely go near this guy ever again?
Exactly the point. I was just going to talk about that. My friend Jay at our work, he said the same thing. He was like, how the fuck did she love him after he just admitted? Like, and it's like pretty much the next scene, we're coming up close to it, where she's starting to fall in love with him. It's like, is that what did it? You're a fucked up woman.
Yeah,
she's mental. It's one of them too. It's a really unhealthy relationship.
You know what? It's really unhealthy. And I think it's not even like people talked about. Like I was reading some message boards, and people were like, oh, it's a complex relationship. You're reading too much into that.
Yeah,
a complex relationship is. Well, I define it differently when it comes to relationships, and I don't want to get into that. That's a whole other podcast, but. Like, that's not complex. That's just wrong.
Yeah.
Complex is when you have a problem from either a previous relationship or your upbringing, yeah. Or maybe it's your job that's affecting your relationship or something extracurricular. Maybe it's a physical thing, a sexual thing. This is just wrong. This is wrong.
This is like Ted Bundy wrong.
Yeah, this dude, you could tell he's not stable.
No, not at all.
He's a teenager, like raging hormones. He's got He's the balance of the Force, and he can't balance his fucking checkbook, or can he balance his hormones, or can he balance his angers and fears? Because he thinks that, you know, the world owes him something. He has this sense of entitlement because he got special treatment. Yeah. The Jedi's, you know, you have more midichlorians than everybody else. So, all right. Moving on. Meanwhile, back on Genosis. Vaginosis.
Vaginosis.
Obi-Wan overhears a meeting between Count Dooku and leaders of the Commerce Guild. Do you want to play that clip?
No.
Okay.
Just the funny ones.
And learns that they're behind the Separatist movement and have built up the new droid army. Also learns, here's the kicker. Here's where Obi-Wan has to go home and tell his crew that that Nuke Gunray was ordered to assassinate Senator Amidala as revenge for the Battle of Naboo, the Trade Federation thing. Okay,
Phantom Menace.
Right. So now Obi-Wan finally has enough juice to transmit his findings to the council, right?
Yeah.
Am I skipping anything? Or
nope. Go
okay.
On.
So now, relayed by way of Anakin and Padme's ship, he's now surrounded by the droid Deckers.
The droid Deckers, yeah.
Okay, I said that right. And now he's captured before he can finish his report. Mm-hmm. As he's telling it, you see he puts his saber up, and now he's...
Yeah.
So now that the Jedi Council know that Dooku knows Dooku's behind us all, our man Mace Windu leads the team now to Genosis, unbeknownst to anybody else, right? But Anakin and Padme also make their way to rescue him. Now, here's the human... Here's where Anakin's almost human. She's like, we have to go. He's like, no, I have to keep you here. I have to protect you. They told me, Mace told me to stay here. Master Windu told me to stay.
When it comes to Anakin, we don't have to leave, but, you know.
Right. Right. When it comes to Obi-Wan, you know, no. But so now she's like, listen, you know, you protected me, but I'm going there, so you're going to have to go with me. So after all that, what does he do? He smiles at her. All right, boo, I got you. Jumps in the fucking co-pilot seat, and now they're off to Genosis.
And wipes everything out that just happened.
And, like, just, again, terrible dialogue. Terrible. So, meanwhile, now, Senator Binks calls for...
I like it when you say that. Just say that one more time.
Senator Binks calls for the Chancellor Palpatine to be given emergency power, which now is...
Which is also the way that Hitler became... Yeah. That's what they got. That's where they
yeah,
got, that's the,
got the idea from. Yeah. Yeah. Good job.
So I just want to say,
go ahead.
Jar Jar is the reason for the fall of the Emperor Republic.
So now Hitler blamed the Jews. Who do they blame?
Jar Jar.
Gungans?
Yeah. Just Jar Jar. It was all Jar Jar. He worked on his own.
Put the Gungans in concentration camps.
Gungans freaking, they what do you call it? They don't even talk about Jar Jar.
Misa don't like the Germans. So. Anyway.
They disowned him.
All right. Meanwhile, back on Genosis, Dooku now has Obi-Wan in this force field-looking thing.
Yeah, captured.
I made a mistake. You shouldn't be up here. I'll take you down immediately. Obi-Wan's like, stop.
Yeah.
Stop. I heard your conversation. Okay, I know what the fuck's going on. He wants him to join him now, and he's like, listen, he's warning him that now Darth Sidious is in control of the Senate. Obi-Wan's like, what? Who's Darth Sidious? And why is he controlling the Senate? Again, Obi-Wan is like, has all this information and can't tell anybody what's going on because he's on this planet with a bunch of flying bugs and Sith, yeah. Right? So Obi-Wan, of course, doesn't believe him, obviously.
Which also, I don't know if you said, too, that planet is also where they're making all the droids.
Yeah, they're making the droids, right.
The factory, yeah.
Yeah, the Lego factory. Right. So flying bugs and a lot of molten lava and steel, okay? and creepy looking animals. The creatures were cool in the fight scene. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Obi-Wan refused to believe him. Blah, 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 blah. So Jedi would have known. Where am I? So Anakin and Padme arrive on the planet. But now they're captured by Jango Fett. And they get sentenced to death, like...
Yeah.
No trial? It's that bad? At least Game of Thrones, you get a fucking shot, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing, right? Nothing. So they get sentenced to death, joining Obi-Wan in the...
You heard of his acting.
Yeah, they yeah. Bad dialogue. You guys are bad. They get tied up to these posts in the arena. So now in the top of the arena, you have Dooku, Gunray, and Hako?
Hako.
Yeah, Mooney Hako, right? Hako, okay. Yeah. Poggle the Lesser is also there.
Mm-hmm.
And Boba and Jango Fett watch the start of the execution, right? They're
like gladiator-type ring. Arena.
Now, there's three creatures. You got the Reek, not the Reek from Game of Thrones. You got Reek, a Nexu, and an Akele.
That's good. I didn't know the names of them.
So the Reek was the bull-looking thing with the horn, right? The Nexu was the thing with the praying mantis looking thing,
okay.
Right? And the
the other one's like a cat kind of thing, like the first,
yeah. The Akele was like a dog cat,
looked like the Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland, kind
of. Yeah, Cheshire Cat met like Little Shop of Horrors.
Right? Lots of teeth.
So during the struggle, of course, Padme gets loose first. Like, what about Padme? He's like, Padme's doing all right for herself. She's climbing the pole. So the Akele gets up and swipes all this nice gash out of Hux.
I love that scene, because then she gets sexy after that. When she rips off that
thing. She's got that thing on that you know,
tight,
like,
white body,
the tight
suit.
White bodysuit with the pants.
And now her belly's exposed.
Now her belly's exposed, and she's all cut up. And
she was hot in that.
She had a little holster there. Fucking... Yeah, she.
You gotta find something to like about this movie.
Dude, she knew what she was getting, man. Right. Stop fronting, you crazy bitch. So now during the struggle.
Oh, well, you forgot before they met the monsters, Padme admits that she's in love with him.
Oh, yeah.
And they kiss.
Yeah, they kiss.
So after all that, she finally kisses him.
Yeah.
That's when they finally fall in love
together.
Yeah, but
they've been canoodling, so...
Yeah, but they didn't actually... She wouldn't do it.
Because
they're about to die.
Yeah, and he's a battle.
That's
like,
the kind of bitch
she
is.
Yeah, she's like, you know what? I'm just going to give you a kiss now.
I'm dying, fuck it.
I don't care. I didn't give you the nappy dugout yet. I'm just going to, you know...
crazy bastard, but
you're a creep. You're a creep. you're a psychopath. You're a sociopath. You're a killer. But I love you anyway. And the movie's going to suck even more now if we stay alive. And guess what, folks? It did.
Yeah, if this was Planet Earth, there would be a lot of restraining orders on this one.
Yeah,
on that
and
relationship.
The psych ward would be fucking loaded right now with people, you know? Anyway, so now Mace in your face. Mace Windu arrives with the cavalry. They called it, and I remember reading something, they called like a Jedi strike team. And I said... Strike teams come with weapons, not just swords, you know? So his cavalcade of Jedi.
That sounds good. I like that.
Cavalcade, you like that?
I'll take that. We'll change the Jedi law.
Yeah, you're an expert on this. So, you know, if I come out of place, you need to put me in my place. Comes with the cavalcade, and they battle the droid army. Now, while this is going on...
Which is also, too, the first time you ever seen a whole bunch of Jedi. That was a really cool scene.
Yeah, you know,
especially the first time.
It's funny because you don't realize how many species of Jedi there are.
Yes, that's true, too. Yeah.
Until you see that, right? Yeah. Okay. So.
And you see their worth. You always hear about, you know, the
you
Jedi
was
this
stories,
great army.
Right,
and,
yeah. This big army, and you're like, wow, it's not just five people sitting in a room, conference room.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it always seems like.
Right. There's a whole world of us out there, you know, and they're all different species. I love that.
Yeah, man. It really is cool.
That made me smile. That's like probably the best fight scene of the whole movie.
Yeah.
Well, no, second best. We'll get to my favorite in a little while. Okay. You know what I'm talking about because I'm already smiling. And I don't know why I like it so much, but the whole theater popped for it, and we'll talk about that in a minute. It was. All right, so while this is all going on, Jango Fett's jetpack shoots down to the floor and engages Mr. Windu. After he was shooting at him from a distance, and the robots were shooting at him from a distance, and Mace went down to the floor. After the struggle, of course, he kills him. Windu takes the
lightsaber
and
cuts off his head.
And Boba watches in he's in the alleyway like. It's like when you're at a baseball game and you're walking out in the tunnel in between the seats and you miss a hit or a home run.
Oh, yeah. And everybody here.
What the fuck? You're like, what? That was him in the alley. Like, what? No, Dad, no. Because the jetpack, of course, malfunctions, you know, so.
Yeah.
Right. So.
It's not the first time that'll happen. It happened to this kid, too.
Right. So. The Jedi now are getting outnumbered.
And they're holding their own for a while, but then, then they get surrounded.
It gets crazy now. I, first seeing this for the first time, I didn't know what to think. I'm like, oh my God. They can't kill all these Jedi. And, make this. You can't salvage this. If you're going to kill a bunch of Jedi, you better tell me, like wrestling, you better tell me a good story. You know how I am about that shit. So, no. You're not killing the Jedi. Here comes Yoda.
With his crew.
With the crew.
With the strike team. Now, that's more of a strike
team. That's a strike team, right. Yoda comes with the Republic's clone army.
Clone troopers, yeah.
That look like almost half a stormtrooper.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, they had like a stormtrooper Mandalorian armor kind of mixture.
Yep, yep.
But I found this crazy. All of those armors were CGI. There was not one real armor built.
No shit.
No shit.
I didn't read that.
I just found out about that. Yeah, I thought that was crazy. I was like,
that's awesome.
It's kind of like sad too. At the same time, I was like, you know, there's no actual suit.
Right.
I mean, I would be pissed off if I was an actor and I didn't get to wear a stormtrooper
shirt. So, I'd be pretty pissed off myself.
I'm wearing a blue freaking suit there with little dots on it.
Yeah, I'd be pretty pissed off myself. So they come in and they come into the arena picking up Padme and the surviving Jedi and they, you know, take off.
Chase after Dooku.
Yeah, Dooku's going off in his little speedster.
Yeah.
Right? So even a larger battle erupts outside the arena between the Republic, the clones, and the droids. The Confederacy army, of the Independence, which was and then Gunray and Hako then escape in Gunray's ship. The Genosian, they called it the Genosian Poggle. The Poggle, the lesser guy, entrust Dooku with the plans of the ultimate weapon.
Yes.
Okay, which term we know what the ultimate weapon is going to be.
Yep.
Right? If you don't, you shouldn't be watching Star Wars.
But it's not revealed yet.
It was the early plans of the Death Star.
Yeah, they just talk about
Right. Dooku attempts to escape, but Obi-Wan and Anakin track him down in the secret hangar where they engage in combat. Now, it was a play off the first couple of movies where, you know, the one guy's not ready. The other guy's overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You know.
And let's talk about, too, while they're chasing him, what are Anakin and Obi doing? Anakin
fighting.
And Obi. Fighting again. Bickering.
Because Padme gets knocked off, and he's like, land this thing now. He's like, Anakin, what are you doing, dude? We got to get Dooku. If we get Dooku, we could save this. We could end this thing. He's like, I don't care. I want to get Padme. And he's like, well, if Padme was in your spot, what would you do? And he was like,
okay.
You're right. Okay, master.
Okay.
Good point, Lou. Good point.
And as soon as they get into the hangar, what do they do before they even fight Dooku? They're fighting amongst each other.
So they deserve to lose this fight.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, Anakin loses a limb. Obi-Wan gets knocked out. Yeah. Right? So they're no match for the, Dooku, who's now revealed himself as flipping the script, as they say in the hood.
And he's Darth Tyrannus.
And he's the guy, and he's not a Jedi no more. He's a Sith, and whatever. So he's the guy. And just as you think it was going to get dim really quick, Yoda shows up.
And the way he shows up is great. Because he's limping with his cane, looking all decrepit and shit.
You have to understand something. Yoda at this point is, I want to say, 600 or 700 years old.
Yeah.
Because he was 800 years old by the time.
Yeah, so he's got to be more than that. Because there's no way 100 years passed between that time. So.
Right, so he's almost 800 years old.
Yeah, he's got 700 and change.
Seven and change. So when you're 700 years old, I mean.
But it's just the way that they make it look.
Yeah,
like
he creeps up and you see the shadow. You see the shadow. You see like the little shadow. He comes up. And as Duke was about to leave, the little shit-talking commences.
Yeah, the Battle of the Jedi Powers.
And the Battle of the Jedi Powers, it commenced. Now, I don't know about your theater, but where I was at, the place erupted. Like, people were, like, throwing shit, screaming. Yeah. Kids were like, I did it, blah, blah. People were, like, losing their minds that Yoda was doing this.
It wasn't like that until he grabbed the lightsaber.
Right.
Once he grabbed the lightsaber, everybody was just cheering.
Right. So now, of course, Count Dooku can't beat Yoda. So he attempts to put, like, you know, he pinches the top, just get, you know, use his mind trick and put this large pillow-looking thing on him. Yeah.
Yoda just brushes it away like it's nothing.
Yeah, Yoda's like, nigga, please. He didn't say that, but that's what he would have said if this was South Bronx or South Central Los Angeles. You know, Dooku gets away.
Well, he says the only way we're going to deal with this is the Battle of Lightsabers.
Right.
And has the ultra. I love the way he pulls out that lightsaber. He just uses the Force and just the lightsaber just pulls this thing back like it's just so cool the way he does it. He pulls his jacket back, his cape back a little bit, and just lightsaber goes into his hand and comes right on. And
right.
Now we're going to see Yoda fight for the first time.
Right.
With the lightsaber. And he becomes Sonic the Hedgehog.
Right. Today, and he's just bouncing all over the place. Yeah. And Dooku uses the pillar as a distraction and gets away.
Yeah.
You know? And now Yoda's got to pick up his sloppy-looking Jedis and get out of there.
But what's great about that, going back to where we talked about how he walked into the place all decrepit. Now you see him bouncing around and fighting him really fast. And then after Dooku leaves, he picks up his cane and then starts walking like all decrepit again. I think that was a great joke.
Right. So now it's now the truth is out there. You know, it's like now the Jedi have to reconvene. They have to, you know, they got to get their shit together because it's like, oh my god, you know, this is insane. This guy is the guy. So where's Sidious and, you know, who made the order for the droids? And they have to piece everything together. Mm-hmm. And they're overwhelmed. They lost a couple of Jedi at this point in that battle. And Yoda's been feeling hurt from the beginning of the movie because he's conflicted between what's going on and Anakin flipping out. So there's the human, the I don't want to say human because they're all aliens, but the emotional element here is where I think almost saves the movie from being one of the worst movies you've ever seen. Seriously. I think once you realize that they have a clue, you start to feel better about the next movie.
Yeah. The way they ended off is really cool. All the clone troopers, and you're seeing the first like prototype Star Destroyers.
Right, we'll get into that. So they get at the temple. So it's Obi-Wan, Mace in your face, and Yoda. They're talking about, you know, Dooku's warning that Sidious is controlling the Senate. Yoda doesn't want to believe it. And you could, like, every time Yoda is hesitant, he has that face. Like that. Like, what? Like that. You can't deny that. Like, Yoda's not a very, me and Yoda have a lot in common. I can't hide my emotions. Neither could Yoda. When you know Yoda's pissed, if you know I'm pissed, it's the same thing. Same thing. The dark side, he says the dark side is capable of creating fear and mistrust. Mm-hmm. I thought that was important to document. Him and Mace in your face agree that they would nevertheless, of course, now have to pay attention to the Senate now. Pay close attention. Meanwhile, Palpatine and who's the guy? It's not Anaconda. It's Anaconda Far, the guy he was with, oversee the launching of the massive clone trooper forces. The guy Palpatine was called Anaconda Far.
Oh, the blue guy with
the blue guy with the big head. Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Anaconda, not Anaconda. I wrote Anaconda, and I'm like, wait a minute, no, it's not. I had to go back and look it up. Thank you Wikipedia.
That's pretty cool to say. Yeah,
it's pretty cool. I stole some stuff from there. So him and Anaconda oversee the launching, like Lou says, of the massive clone troop forces, which was the prototypes of the
Star Destroyers. You see all the different kinds of like ships that are going to
crazy. Come.
I love that scene. That's a really great scene.
But then we go to Naboo.
Back at Naboo.
Meanwhile, that's like Ted Knight doing Super Friends. Meanwhile, back at Naboo.
That was so bright. Was that soap? That was so bright.
No, that was Ted Knight doing Super Friends.
Oh, the Super Friends. Okay, yeah.
He was the narrator.
I didn't know that, but I probably just forgot about it.
You got to get on that.
Super Friends. I was thinking about that before when you said that, the way you said that.
I'll step away from this 1 second. Coming in September, The Rant is doing a Saturday morning cartoon show at like noon. So come over, bring your pajamas. I'll break out the cereal. We're gonna get microphones. We're gonna We're gonna talk about Saturday morning cartoons.
Get some C-3POs and Mr. T's.
Mr. T's. That's right. So meanwhile, back at Naboo, Anakin with his new mechanical hand. Creepy. Yeah.
Can you get more creepy?
Can you get any more creepier now? You stalking psychopath, killing. Now you mechanical arm looking motherfucker. With his new mechanical arm and Padme hold the secret wedding, and the only witnesses are 3PO. And when you, it's bad when you have to creep around and use droids as a witness.
I thought about that yesterday. Right? I saw that scene. I was like, they're the witnesses? Holy shit.
She's got buku money.
Yep.
She's got Arab money, dude. Yep. Padme's rich. You see the fucking costume she wears?
Hell yeah. She got a palace. She got a fucking palace. That's her getaway. Yeah.
I'm Robin Leach. We are on our Naboo. And it's so big, even the robots say, who the fuck are you? You know? So now, she's like Big Willie style, but who signs the marriage certificate? You know 3PO is not going to do it.
Yeah. Does that even count?
No. It doesn't count. Come on. Let's be honest. And they get the secret wedding. And 3PO's like, it's going to be okay, buddy. Like, he keeps tapping R2 on the head. And that's how they end the fucking movie. Like, yeah.
Yeah, so, it just ends off with them looking out at the...
And there it is. There's the fucking... All the ships that Lou was talking about.
Awesome. I love that.
All right. So that's pretty much it, man. I mean, that's... Now, you want to... Hold on a second. Did I have any other notes here? Did I miss anything on your end?
No, not really, man. We caught everything.
As much as you can.
This one, you know, it was... Phantom Menace had a lot more to talk about, especially behind the scenes and everything, because it was such a lucrative production.
Yeah.
Everything was fucking CGI.
I do have some behind-the-scenes notes, if you don't mind. They did photography from June to September of 2000. They filmed primarily in Sydney, Australia. And, of course, in Tunisia for the same scenes. Right? In Spain, in Italy, and in London. And then in 2001, it was rumored that members of NSYNC were filmed as extras. But in the following days, that was denied.
Maybe the one smart thing.
Joey Fatone's brother was in the movie. That was it. Legit, he was in the movie. Lucas confirmed that there was a rumor because his daughters, Katie and Amanda, were big fans of NSYNC at the time.
Yeah, that was the whole thing, yeah. I remember there was a whole... And people were so pissed off about it. And as the movie went on, people were still looking for it because they never admitted that they deleted it until way after.
Right. Only Joey Fatone's brother, Steve, was in it.
Oh.
And nobody knew who Steve was. It was just Joey Fatone's brother. Yeah. People thought this was a sellout movie, obviously. on January 12th of 2002, Saturday Night Live did a sketch doing first look at the Attack of the Clones, when the movie was forced to grind to a halt, allowing NSYNC to perform an impromptu musical entitled I Am a Jedi Knight in these Jedi days. Joey Fatone later announced that the singer's part had been cut from the film because of the negative fan reaction. Yeah. However, Lucasfilm's Lynn Hale denied it, saying that it was up to George Lucas, obviously.
Mm.
So, let me see what else I got here. I got some notes here. You want to just go over the cast real quick, or? I mean, everybody's
pretty much the same except for Mannequin.
And there was,
The original people that tried out for Anakin, what I had that? I had Ryan Felipe.
Right.
Paul Walker.
Oh.
Colin Hanks, Tom Hanks' son.
Oh, wow.
And Jonathan Brandis. You remember him?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, well, he committed suicide in 2005.
Shit.
Paul Walker's dead. But I think any one of those would have been better than what we got.
Better than Hayden Christensen, right?
And they said that the only reason why they hired Hayden Christensen was the way that he looked with Padme. Which, can we...
Natalie Portman was quoted as saying that he read better than everybody else.
Together, when they were together.
I don't know if that had an influence on Lucas or the producers.
Well, one thing I know that I was thinking about, Lucas never was able to hire a good Anakin, if you think about it. Even up to the original trilogy, David Prowse was the original Darth Vader, and they wind up cutting his voice.
Yeah, and DiCaprio also was in.
Oh, yeah, and DiCaprio. Yeah, yeah.
I had that written down, too.
DiCaprio. So if you think about that, from little Anakin to teenage Anakin to adult Anakin.
Here you go. Natalie Portman said that in Time Magazine that they had great reading. Scary and really, he could be scary and really young. Yeah, he was scary.
But you hear what I was saying about the...
I'm sorry, go
ahead. The Anakins. He's never hired a good Anakin.
Yeah, no.
The kid, to teenage, to David Prowse, where David Prowse's voice got cut, and he didn't even tell him that, on the original trilogy.
Yeah, he took James Earl Jones and said, hey, you just talk over this guy.
So it's like, yeah, he can never hire a good Anakin. I don't know, what is his, this is like the most powerful guy in the universe, and all he did was make a creepy teenager.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, man, I got nothing on it.
This was probably the worst one of them all. Really worse than Return of the Jedi, I thought. And I hated Return of the Jedi.
You really hate it? Oh, I can't wait to go on that one.
Yeah, I just... yeah, we have a long ways to go. I love it now because this is terrible. Like, Attack of the Clones just didn't ruin Star Wars for me at all. I just feel like it's, it ended well. And I think the ending, like I mentioned before, the ending saved the movie. It did. Because it pieced everything together the way it was supposed to. And I think Lucas took too long to get his point across.
Yes, he did, definitely.
In this movie. Unless...
There's a lot of parts that just, like, it just stops the movie. You're just like, can we just go?
Yeah, it's like a bad... Like, when your girl takes to one of those movies, what kind of movies I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The bitch flicks, yeah, right? Yeah. And you're like, you want to pretend that you are interested. Or you might be interested, depending on who's in the movie,
Mm-hmm.
But in hindsight, you're like, this can't stop dragging. Come on. Keep it moving. Same concept.
Yep.
Same concept. So, any closing thoughts before I play some music and get the fuck out of here? Or?
No. Like I said, the less said, the better about this one. Can't wait to get to the next one. Revenge is one of my favorites. Any excuse that I have to watch that.
There's Anaconda.
Is it Anaconda?
There's Anaconda.
Anaconda, more liquor.
And there's Jimmy Smits.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it, man. If Lou doesn't ruin my equipment by spilling stuff, we're going to have a show next month. We're going to have a bonus episode that we talked about in pre-production. I'll keep you guys posted on it on the Facebook page. You can follow it, And there's the wedding. Look at it. Lou and I are watching it in... we're waiting for the music to come on so I can cue it up and start talking over it like we're real radio people. But his, and she's wearing like this doily on her head. You know, with, oh, there's the creepy hand, Lou.
Yeah, that is creepy.
That's terrible. It's like that really is creepy. It's like Terminator type shit, right?
The hand that they had in the closet.
That's the Russian. That's like the doilies in the Russian people's houses when I go to, with the ambulance. Yeah, right. bullied. Look, and now Archie's like, GP's like, it's okay, buddy.
It's like, what is that? Yeah, like what did Archie say? He's like, yeah, this is fucked up.
Yeah, Archie's like, bleep, 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 bleep. This is some shit.
We need to leave, man. We need to go.
We need to get the fuck out of here. Oh, yeah. This is just creepy. He's gonna get her pregnant. Oops, that's next movie. Womp womp. Terrible. Just terrible.
So this is supposed to be similar to Empire Strikes Back. They were saying that it was the same way they ended it.
You ever compared it to Empire Strikes Back?
No, this is what they said.
Yeah, that
they
you'll said never that be allowed in my house again.
No, believe me, I would never do that. But they said they ended it. They wanted to end it. They said there's a lot of similarities in the movie that they try to do, like with the second movie of the original trilogy. So just show like comparisons or whatever.
Yeah.
That's like why.
So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up for Lou and I for this month. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. I don't mind talking about it, but
No, it was fun.
If I have to do it again, but yeah, join us next month.
I'll read Cliff Notes if I had to watch this movie again.
Yeah, this will be out right before your 4th of July holidays, so enjoy all that. We'll be back next month and for Revenge of the Sith. It's going to be amazing. Can't wait for that.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one.
RantEmRadio.com. Go to GeeksInTheIndustry.com. Really good stuff going on there. Go to TermicalThrowbacks.com, cheap plug. Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, cheap plug there. Like I said, yeah, we're going to be doing this monthly until the new movie comes out in December. And we're doing a live show as well. And we got a bonus episode that we're going to be working on very soon involving some publications of the movies, which I'm very excited about because I know nothing about them. So now I'm getting an education in that, which is cool, 35 years later. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
It's never too late to learn Star Wars.
It's never too late to learn Star Wars. Remember that. That's a quote. You quote Lou. It's never too late to learn Star Wars. True, true indeed. So, guys, take care of yourselves. May the Force be with you. If not, then go see a doctor because something's wrong with you.
Good night.
Good night, kids.